Happy New Year. Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. Ah, whole new year. A whole new decade, really, of fun stuff to consume. Books and bikes and trikes and video games. I'm sorry, I slipped into the Toys R Us theme there. So what you're going to hear today is a conversation that I had with Vin Forte. This is a conversation we both had after having seen The Rise of Skywalker. Now, I've seen The Rise of Skywalker twice at this point, and after seeing it the second time and having accepted all of the undoing of The Last Jedi and knowing what I was going into, I was able to have a lot more fun with it the second time around. There were certain things that I enjoyed more the second time around. It just ended up being a more fun experience, but this conversation was a sort of first reaction. It was me and Vin sort of knee-jerk reacting to the film. I think I recorded this 2 days after I had seen it and before there was a sort of deluge of think pieces and videos and stuff like that online. So that's what you're about to hear.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys. Oh my God, it's 2020.
It certainly is.
Vin, I don't know about you, but I was up all night last night at a New Year's Eve party down in Palpatine's rave.
Ooh, oh my God, the death sticks were all over the place.
Oh my God, one of the acolytes of Palpatine sold me the craziest ecstasy. I'm still tripping balls.
I saw someone making out with butt face.
Did you? Wow.
Ooh.
Oh my God. What a night. I love a 90s style rave.
Yeah.
Oh God. Well, it's New Year's Day.
I saw Max Rebo smooching on nice noodles.
Oh, hey.
It's funny because they're not even in the same version of the same movie.
This is PCMC. Welcome. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined with the mighty Vin Forte.
Yeah.
Vin, we're here today not just to say Happy New Year to the listeners, but to talk about Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
Now, all right, let's begin at the beginning.
Once upon a time, yeah, Rian Johnson made a movie.
Yay or nay?
I'm going to go nay on this.
I'm going to go nay too. But let me say this. I've got a few things to say first.
Okay.
Preface one, spoiler alert. This episode, we are going to talk about everything. And if you haven't seen The Rise of Skywalker,
don't.
Don't. And also, if you plan on seeing it, don't listen to this first.
Yeah.
Preface two. Even though I didn't like it, this movie did not ruin my life. It did not ruin my childhood.
No.
It took nothing from me. And if you enjoyed it, good on you. I'm happy because I like Star Wars and I like when people like Star Wars.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to high road everyone that disliked The Last Jedi. Well, maybe I am a little bit. But just because I didn't like this movie doesn't mean anything. Except I'm right, of course, because this wasn't a good movie.
Yeah, I mean, I was just about to upload my think piece. It's taking a long time to render because it was pretty long.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The thumbnail. Woo! The thumbnail
took
you had.
Took me a while just to get that thumbnail going.
Oh, my God. With the red circle over something?
The way I contorted Daisy Ridley's face to look angry.
Oh, my God. The way you made Poe's face look like a Joker face.
Oh my God. Well, that took a long time. I had to do some deep fakes on that.
Gosh, how do we begin?
The dead or alive, or whatever that opening crawl was.
The very first thing you see in the crawl is "the dead speak!" Exclamation mark. And right then I knew this movie's going to be weird.
I'm down for a weird Star Wars movie.
Honestly, I've been thinking about it since I saw it. I've only seen it once, which I'm sorry. I usually like to see it a couple times before doing a podcast, but, you know, life happens. I think that if they had sold it to us as this is a crazy movie, I would have went into it with better expectations than
the way that they did market it, which was legacy, the last Star Wars movie. Hey, remember your childhood? This is the end of your childhood right now. And it really, that's not the movie they give us, because it's a batshit crazy movie that's going 90 miles an hour. It never stops.
It's like they went to J.J. Abrams and was like, hey, what would you have done instead of The Last Jedi? Okay, that's great. Now also make this movie too, but also that other movie we just told you to make, just put them together.
Right. This movie is very much his episode 8 and episode 9 together.
It doesn't work. There's no time. The thing I've wanted from this trilogy is, okay, we're focusing on Rey. Okay, that's fine. Yes. You followed Rey a lot through this trilogy. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Finn and Poe have absolutely no place in this trilogy now that I've seen the entire thing.
Okay.
Finn is set up in Force Awakens to be like the love interest of Rey.
Right.
Or like to follow in her footsteps in some way. Like, right. Oh, maybe even though he's not part of the Jedi lineage, like he has Force powers too.
Right.
And Rian Johnson definitely played into that and let it sort of be known at the end of his movie, like, oh, maybe like you don't need to be a Skywalker. Maybe like a new kind of Jedi is going to rise up.
Right.
And then this
film...
You don't
have to be the Emperor's granddaughter.
No. And then this movie comes along as like, oh yeah, we don't really care. Like, and then Rose is just like completely out of the picture.
She gets Jar Jar'd.
She gets completely Jar Jar'd. And then, like, honestly, the most egregious thing to me is everything involving the Emperor, which is a lot of the movie.
Right.
Because it does a couple things. One, it negates 6 out of 9 of these movies, in a way, because the first 6 of these movies, the first 6 of these 9 movies is all about Darth Vader's fall and then rise into, like, sacrificing himself for redemption. And then... Now because of this new movie, it's now canon that his sacrifice was kind of for nothing because he just killed a clone of the Emperor.
Or what? I don't know. Or it was the Emperor. And this, for all the answers it's supposed to give you, it never clearly says who the Emperor was, who this new Emperor is.
Who did the Emperor fuck? Like, what?
Right. Who is Snoke? You see, like, a bunch of Snokes in a barrel.
Yeah, there's, like, a bunch of Snoke clones.
But it's like, all right, was he always Snoke? Because why? And also, here's what blows my mind. And I've been somebody who's defended Kathleen Kennedy. I've never been one of those people that's like, fuck you, Kathleen Kennedy.
I think I know exactly what you're going to say.
How do you go into this with no plan at all?
Yeah.
None at all?
How is it? Like, look, if this is the movie that you wanted to make and you had a plan...
And
fine.
You spent $4 billion on the rights alone.
But, like, to make a movie, and then you hand off to a new director, and let that director make what he wants, and then he passes the baton to someone else, and it's like, now you make a movie.
I mean, even
it's like,
if...
what?
Right. You're absolutely right. Even if the, you know, the guts was something that you needed to make up, you know, what planets will they visit? What adventures will they have? At least she should have known... who Rey was.
Right, like at least like someone along the line should have said like, no, we're not going to kill this person. This needs to be saved for this.
Right.
These are the beats that you have to hit.
Right.
Here's what you could play with. But it seems like that didn't happen.
No. I rewatched The Force Awakens a few nights before I saw the new movie, and it's very clear that they told J.J. Abrams, Rey's going to be someone, we don't know who yet.
Yeah,
because a lot of people in that movie are like, who's she? Wink at the camera and like nothing happens.
And I liked the Rian Johnson thing of like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like you think you're part of some destiny and it's like, well, you're not. And that was good because that would have set up something in this movie that would have that would have paid off like, oh, yeah, you don't need to be a Skywalker. You don't need to be a Jedi. Like, heroes could come out of anywhere.
Right, absolutely. That's what I loved about The Last Jedi.
Yeah, like, and I didn't like all of The Last Jedi, but, like, I liked the big ideas.
You know, people shit on Rian Johnson for a lot of reasons, mostly his choices. Honestly, his filmmaking is top-notch. I think The Last Jedi is one of the best-looking Star Wars movies.
Knives Out was incredible.
Oh, Knives Out was incredible. The... people say, well, I really, of all the decisions he made, I really, I dislike what he did with Luke, but I really dislike that he made Rey of no important parentage. I say this. What does that say about the production? That means that they had no idea who Rey was. Because if they had always, oh, Rey's going to be Palpatine's granddaughter, or Rey's going
to
be this,
then he wouldn't
have
been able to do
it. Right, he can't walk in, cock of the walk, and go, oh, I've decided to change it.
Yeah.
They would never allow him. The fact that he was able to do this thing that a lot of people hated him for shows they had no fucking clue. They gave him carte blanche, and he went and made, in my opinion, a great Star Wars movie, and then a lot of people disliked it. So then they went back to J.J. Abrams and said, please make a crowd-pleasing movie. Retcon everything you want. You can
all the
ignore
fan service.
You can ignore as much of Rian Johnson's movie as you want. And really, other than Luke's death, you can very easily almost like go from Force Awakens to The Rise of Skywalker. You can completely skip over The Last Jedi.
Yeah, because all the emotional stuff that Last Jedi set up, none of it gets paid. Literally none of it gets paid off
right.
in this movie.
Right.
There's a scene near the end of this movie that I'm not going to say really upset me, because this movie, like, I didn't care enough about to, like, have it affect me that right. way. But there's a scene near the end where Kylo and Rey kiss.
Right. Which I don't mind.
I did mind it.
That's okay.
Because it felt weird.
It didn't feel earned.
It didn't feel earned, and it didn't. Again, it felt weird because The Force Awakens set up that Finn was maybe going to be in that position.
But what about this? During the scene where they fall through the quicksand, Finn goes, Rey, I never got to tell you.
Right.
And then that gets, you think, okay, whatever. And then Poe brings it up in another scene. Hey, what was it you were going to tell Rey? And he's like, now's not the time to talk about this. And it never
and
pays
never...
off.
Yeah.
Listen, you could have started this movie and never mentioned anything about that. I was willing, because in the original Star Wars, clearly
Luke and Leia
also have a connection.
Right. And you could argue, and you could hand wave that away as like, oh, well, as the story goes on, bigger things happen. They realize their brother and say, okay, fine.
Right. This movie could have started with no mention of Finn having feelings for Rey in that way. This movie could have started with Finn dating Rose. I would have been like, okay, fine with
yeah.
that. But it somehow jumps right back into that thread. But then not only like, it doesn't do anything with it. It
right.
starts it. It brings it up again. So you go, okay, this is a thing. And
yeah.
then nothing.
See, that's what upset me, because it's like she keeps falling for Kylo.
Right.
Even because she's like, oh, I see Ben Solo in him. Like, he's going to come out. And it's like, he still murdered a bunch of people. Like, you can't hand wave that away.
Right.
Like, he's still a horrible murderer who blew
up
planets.
Here's what the film does to try to get you on board. And it's maybe the thing I hate most about this movie. He sees a memory, quote, of Han Solo.
Right.
Not a Force ghost, because Han Solo wasn't a Force user. It's just a memory. And it's just a really shitty crowd-pleasing cameo.
Right.
Which I can't believe Ford even did.
They must have backed up the Brinks truck to get him in on that.
But I really felt like the whole reason for this, other than the crowd-pleasing moment, is for the audience to go, hey, he forgives his son for killing him. You could forgive him for killing Han Solo, too. If Han
right.
Solo's not mad, you don't need to be mad.
But
that's
like,
what that's there for.
Right, but really, when you think about it, it's like he's just imagining Han Solo.
Right.
It's not like Han Solo came down from heaven and is like, I forgive you. It's like,
right.
no, he's just thinking in his head. He's like, in a way, it's more fucked up.
Right.
Because he's like justifying in his head.
Right.
Like, oh, this was okay.
He's not a Force ghost. And by the way, have we ever seen anything like that?
Well, here's the thing. Like, I thought, like, okay, maybe he is a Force ghost, and that's, like, the one thing that's, like, playing into the idea that more than just the Skywalkers and the Jedi can, like, tap into the Force.
Okay.
Which, again, still doesn't negate the fact that I don't like that scene.
Well, one thing that's kind of thrown in there is at some point Finn is like, oh, I have a feeling about something. So you see him kind of have a force sensitivity.
Right. But, and that doesn't really...
Right, because there's actually... I have a list of things that could have been something that went nowhere. And I know we're jumping all around, but that's sort of... That's you know what?
This movie jumps around.
Right, this movie... Does not.
This movie has no fucking chill.
It doesn't stop to breathe at all. It really doesn't. It's just a barrage of images.
And that's why I think, and someone I was talking to earlier put it best when they said that this movie never slows down to let us have an actual adventure with Rey, Poe, and Finn.
Right.
These are supposed to be the three leads of the franchise right now. And in Force Awakens, they're separated. In Last Jedi, they're separated again, right. Which I would argue, okay, that's maybe a legitimate knock on Rian Johnson's. And it's one of the things I didn't like about it, is that they were separated again for a significant chunk of time. And this movie kind of does the exact same thing, like they're separated again.
Right. Well, no, see, I would say, well, when they're separated at the end, but in the beginning, they're together.
Well, they're trying to have that. Well, here's the thing, they're trying to have their cake and eat it too, because they're trying to give you the sense of we've gone on an adventure with these people.
There's this chemistry that's not earned.
Yeah,
it felt like two movies in one, but in some ways it felt like a sequel to a movie you haven't seen.
What made A New Hope work, and if you haven't seen A New Hope in a while, and you just like. You're coming into this franchise off of, like, muscle memory, and you're like, I know the bridge, I know Star Wars. Go watch A New Hope.
Uh-huh.
It is a very slow movie, and it is basically...
By today's standards,
it's very slow, and it's people meeting new people who then become part of their party, and then they all go on an adventure.
Right.
Luke meets Han. Then Luke and Han meet Princess Leia.
Mm-hmm.
Then all three of them... are running away from the Empire.
Right.
And we get a sense of the most of the movie is them coming together, and then the second half of the movie is them having an adventure.
Right.
So that when Empire Strikes Back happens, we know what the stakes are, we know what they're up to, and in the beginning of that movie, they're separated for a little while, but you know that the goal in those first couple scenes is them getting back together.
Yes. Yeah.
That none of that happens in any of these movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I have a few questions for you, just to sort of get our conversation going. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the handling of Carrie Fisher?
It's... In one respect, it's the best they could have done. But in another way, it's kind of obvious they took deleted scenes from Force Awakens.
I think it's terrible. I think you can tell she's not there. First of all, I've got a whole problem with the CG in this movie. I think this movie was rushed and made in a weekend.
Oh,
this movie looks bad.
The CGI, first off, here...
It looks like PlayStation 4 level. What is happening?
No one asked for this scene, and they dared to have a scene with young Luke and young Leia.
Oh my God, was that terrible.
And they thought that by like, oh, it's darkly lit, like you only see their faces through like lightsaber glow.
Yeah.
And it's like, it still looked awful.
It looked worse than the end of Rogue One, which people make fun of.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the VFX guys video where they rip it apart and tell you why it's awful. And so I think Leia looked awful. I feel like I can see the Photoshop around her body. Also, you know, she's just constantly saying vague things that people are responding to.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They should have killed her off screen.
That's what I'm
saying. I'm sorry. They should have killed her off screen.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they should have killed her in the last movie or even the beginning of this one. Like,
right.
Because it's the best they could have done. Because they promised, like, we're not going to CGI her face into that scene. Which
I guess
they didn't.
It's the best they could have done if they needed her in it. But I think the best thing they could have done is not have her in it.
There's a scene where she's handing, I think it's like a lightsaber to Rey.
Right.
And it's literally like going like one. Like you could see, like they're trying to get you to be like, oh, see, she's alive. Look at
it's
this.
Also a shot that you saw in the trailer to The Force Awakens.
Yes.
Because it was a cut scene where she hands it to Maz, or Maz hands it to her. Yeah, it's terrible. And, oh, God. It looks bad. It is bad. People go, well, this was supposed to be her movie. I think she's great in the last one. She's beautiful in the last one. She does a lot in the last one. I think the Last Jedi is Leia's movie. She's fantastic in that.
Yeah.
And so to the idea of, no, she has to be in this, I disagreed with. And I don't think... All right, when she dies, mm-hmm. I turned to my girlfriend Jen and said, and by the way, I'm a pop culture man child. I've got a master's degree in cinema studies. I turned to my girlfriend and said, I don't know what just happened. And she said to me, I think she did what Luke did in The Last Jedi. She projected herself, and the projection, like the way it killed Luke, killed her because mm-hmm. it takes so much power. But that means, all right, let's say that's what happened, which it's very hard to read that. I did not read that. That means all it took for Ben to change, to turn to good, was to just hear his mom say his name? That's all it took was Leia to say Ben?
Well, that's straight out of the DC playbook.
How so?
Because if you...
Oh, the Martha?
Yeah.
Martha.
Martha. Ugh.
I just feel like...
My mom's Martha, too.
I feel like his turn...
It was unearned. This is the most unearned emotional beats.
There could have been better turns. There could have been better times he turned, even in the last movie. It just feels like in this movie, Leia dies. And you see, by the way, that scene's so corny because you see she lays down to do it and you see a silhouette of an actress who clearly isn't her.
Yeah.
Which feels so chintzy, so cheesy. And she says Ben, and then Rey basically kills him.
Yeah.
But then she heals him, which is funny because that was not a force power we knew of, except for 2 days before this movie came out, Baby Yoda did it in an episode of Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Baby Yoda heals Carl Weathers.
Baby Yoda, the real progressive Star Wars character.
The real, no matter what, we have Baby Yoda, so. I mean, I kind of liked that they were fighting and they both looked bored, like, we're such a perfect match, neither of us could ever win this fight.
But again, it felt so, like, weird and unearned.
And the editing was weird, and also Maz was like, when Leia walks away to fast sacrifice herself, Maz is like, she knows what she needs to do. And I'm thinking, why now?
Why now, and why does Maz know? What is the deal with Maz?
What's the deal with Maz? And how does Leia know that? I know, like, this movie shoehorns in the idea that she was trained as a Jedi, which I kind of like, although isn't present in the last two movies. But whatever.
Yeah.
It's a cool idea that gets dropped and nothing does with it, which there's a bunch of cool ideas that I'll get to that are dropped. It's just like, it's just this big turn where it kind of lost me. And then you've got Han Solo, and it's like,
Lando.
And then he's a Boy Scout, and then he's Mr. Good Guy, and I'm supposed to be like, laughing at jokes with him and like...
Yeah.
And by the way, I love that the Knights of Ren are in this, but they're still nothing. They're still nothing characters. Yeah. He fucking kills them easily. What do you think of the idea... This I thought was kind of cool. The idea that their connection to the Force, they could actually pass things through to each other.
Yeah, that was a cool idea.
It's one of the only places where they took what happened in the last movie and they built on it. Because in the last movie, they had that force time thing where they were speaking to one another and they were connected that way. In this one, they actually, like, you show you could, like, take something from an environment.
Here's a very blatant question that maybe there's an answer to, and I'm just completely blanking. Why do Kylo and Rey have this connection?
You must have missed the fucking quick hand wave. He says, you and me are a dyad in the Force. We're connected.
Excuse me, a what?
Yeah, exactly. Is this a thing? You want to explain what that means? You're saying that like I know what that means.
A dyad?
So much shit is thrown out there. Like, even in the same scene, he's like, you're a Palpatine. Well, how the fuck do you know that? Like,
how did he get this whole army when he's, like, connected to a piss tube in a chair?
Right. Who are all these acolytes? Who are these people? How did he let
the First Order come to be? Like, theoretically, the First Order could have gotten stronger than him and, like, destroyed him at some point.
Right.
Why was he waiting 30 years?
Right. Was Snoke, like, a runaway clone who went and did his own thing? Or
why would he let the Republic rebuild for 30 years on the whim that maybe, like, he'll still be strong enough.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm just going to hide out here for 30
also,
years.
Also, him coming out of nowhere with this giant fleet, which is, oh, my God. They were so impressed with the look of that, and I wasn't. It looked like a shitty video game. Why do you even need the First Order, then? It completely cuts out the First Order as anything threatening. We built them up over the last two movies, and now it's like, no.
You know, Chris Sorrentino, who hosts the Super Live Adventure podcast, commented on a thread that you put up about the movie.
Yeah.
And he had an interesting read on it,
mm-hmm.
but I still don't agree with it, where he said, like, this trilogy is about legacy. And I see where he's going, but I don't buy that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel it's legacy because you're still... It's a lot of shoehorning. It's not bringing things forward.
No, it's not. It's not.
It was like this trilogy started to like move things forward.
Right.
And like this one movie is sort of like... Like they handed JJ the baton and JJ was like ran in the opposite direction.
Right. The Last Jedi introduced new ideas. The Last Jedi was all about let the past die.
Kylo says, we gotta bring back the past.
Yeah, Kylo says, forget the Jedi, forget the Sith.
Yeah, they set up that like there might be a new way forward.
Right, and
maybe that would have been his redemption. Like,
well, that's the problem with this movie, which is it's not only is it trying to please the crowd, it's so cowardly. It's a cowardly film. You see this film and you feel the anxiety of the filmmakers to please you. And what could be less in the spirit of Star Wars? Listen, Star Wars, the spirit of Star Wars is innovation and moving forward. That's what Lucas was about. Even the prequels, as much as they may not work, he was doing whatever the fuck he wanted and was giving you new shit. He gave, in episode 1, 2, and 3, we may not have liked any of that shit, and he did not care.
But it's all new.
Right. To end the Skywalker saga with this cowardly film is so antithetical to the spirit of Lucas and these movies.
And it totally gave in to the haters. It gave in to the trolls.
It even had, and this is what really hurt me, it had a couple of like, fuck you, Rian Johnson moments that seemed like direct knocks against him. And it's like, come on, dude. Like, at one point, somebody says, we should pull the Haldo maneuver, meaning use light speed to go through.
Yeah.
And then someone basically is like, nah, fuck that. That's stupid. And I guess we as an audience are supposed to go, yeah. And then there's another scene where Rey throws away her lightsaber and the ghost of Luke grabs it. And he says, this is not the way to treat a Jedi weapon, which is a fuck you to Rian Johnson having Luke throw the lightsaber.
Yeah.
By the way, Mark Hamill, I love him. First of all, his wig looked like it came straight from Party City. Why did he look so bad? Why does this movie look like it was made on a budget? His shit-eating grin made me so upset because it's like he was like, fuck you, Rian Johnson. Here I am. I'm Luke the way I want to be. And it's just like, oh, fuck, man. Come on. All right, you're turning away from what the last director did, but don't be so proud of how cowardly you are.
Yeah.
Don't be so excited to give us nothing. Hey, Mark Hamill, you're an actor. Don't you want to act things? Do you want to just play the Boy Scout?
Well, remember, if he had his way, he would have been Anakin Skywalker.
Right. Yeah, he's full of shitty ideas. Oh, the fuck yous. Another fuck you is, hey, Rose, you want to come on this mission? And she's like, nah. And he's like, all right. So many fuck yous.
Another thing that I didn't care for out of a wide list of things I didn't care for is the whole, like, General Hux is a mole thing.
My problem with that, that's on my list of good ideas that were squandered. Because it's interesting, and they did it really to really good effect in the Rebels cartoon.
Right.
Where the villain of season one ends up being a mole that really helps the rebellion. Right. But in this movie, it fucking does nothing. The minute it's introduced, it's gone.
And he's dead.
You're right. Well, since we're on this, let me talk about things that I think could have been good. C-3PO having his mind erased. In the trailers, they made it like that was going to be a big dramatic moment. All it does in the film is serve up bad comedy.
Yeah, C-3PO has got a shocking amount of lines in this movie.
I know, but it's all like fucking jokes.
It's like he's in the fucking Catskills, like doing that.
There was no drama in him wiping his memory. None at all.
Also, can we stop making C-3PO so precious? Like, there's a scene, And it was all over the trailer where he's looking at them and they're like, what are you looking at, C-3PO? And he's like, I'm just taking one last look at my friends.
Right.
And it's like, these aren't your fucking friends.
Right. This is not Han, Luke, and Leia.
Completely on the periphery this entire trilogy.
Right. But that was the scene that they made you think was going to be dramatic, and it's not.
No.
It's not a dramatic scene. There's no drama there. To have drama, you'd have to slow down a little bit to get your bearings.
This movie's not slowing down.
Hux being a spy. Chewbacca's death. Talk about... They don't even... It's stupid to begin with, but they don't even draw it out. It's like a momentary... Like,
boom, he's dead.
Right, he's dead, and then they're all sad, and Poe's heartbroken, which is like, I don't know if I buy this relationship. But they're all like, oh, Chewie, we gotta do it for Chewie. And then, like, the next scene we see is alive, and it's like, well, fuck, you didn't even get anything out of that turn.
Right. Well, you know, at least he can get hit by a moon.
You know what, though?
I would have rather gotten hit by a moon.
I would have, even though he died in a stupid way, I thought that was kind of a cool scene where Rey and she shoots the Force lightning out of her hand like Palpatine.
Yeah.
And also, Rey and Kylo are like both using the Force to like drag a ship out of the atmosphere. They're playing like keep away, kind of like the end of The Last Jedi with the saber.
Yeah.
And that's kind of crazy. The one moment where I was like, whoa, was when the fucking ship's taking off and Finn is like, Chewbacca's on that ship. And Rey puts her hand up and grabs the ship.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, whoa, this is some Force Unleashed shit happening right now. But then it's like, nah, Chewie's alive. Don't you worry. Hey, audience, don't get upset. I know it looked like something would have might have happened there for a minute. Don't you worry.
It's like we almost had an emotional beat for a second.
Don't you worry. Okay, how do you feel about the new characters?
Which new characters?
Janna.
Yeah.
And Zori Bliss.
They were fine.
It's hard to say anything because they're not used. Right?
Exactly.
They show up and do nothing.
They were hardly in the marketing material for this movie, which, like, normally it's not, like, who the fuck cares about the marketing material? But, like, when you're marketing Star Wars and you're introducing new characters, and this trilogy has done this quite a bit, actually, with, what's her fit? Why am I blanking on her?
Phasma.
Where it's like, oh, this is going to be a big, interesting character. Mm-hmm. And then, like, she's just kind of a pushover. She's the Boba Fett of this trilogy.
Zori Bliss is kind of like, okay, it's Poe's ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
And she reveals that Poe was a spice trader, which to me isn't a big reveal. Well, yeah, it just basically says he's even more of a Han Solo clone than you thought he was.
Right.
So
my girlfriend Zoidberg or whatever her name is.
Zoidberg. Like, and then Janna, she does nothing. At first, I think she's going to be Finn's sister.
Right.
Because she's the only African-American character other than Finn and fucking Lando. And also, they have a conversation where they both say that they were taken away as children and brainwashed to be stormtroopers.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, maybe that's his sister. Nope. What does she end up being? Lando's new fuck toy?
Yeah.
Is that how are we supposed to read the end where she's sitting next to Lando and she's like, I don't know anything about my life, and Lando's like, let's find out
about your life.
Like, he's her new sugar daddy?
You know, I this ship I'm riding used to be a robot and I used to fuck that robot.
But now I exclusively fuck very young women.
Yeah.
So is
do
that
you like some Colt 45?
Am I being a pervert? How did you read that?
No, I read it kind of in the same way where it's like, my new young paramour is going to be riding my ship with me.
My girlfriend said, oh, I thought for a second he was going to be her dad. And
that's even creepy.
Well, I think the reason for that is there's so few people of color. And also in Star Wars, everybody's got to be fucking related. So you're just like,
right, everyone. Yeah.
So you're just like making connections that aren't there. You're like, oh, he's her dad probably, right?
You know what almost universally is some of the best Star Wars stuff?
What?
Stuff like the new Star Wars video game.
Yeah.
The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Clone Wars. Stuff that, like, actually builds on the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
Not, like, every time you drag back in a Skywalker, it doesn't, like, you're just devaluing it. Like, tell me a new story.
No, you're absolutely right. I, you know, coming into this year, I thought I had no excitement for The Mandalorian, and I had excitement for the video game, and I had excitement, of course, for this movie. I played the video game. I liked it. It was a very short game. It had moments. It didn't thrill me. This movie obviously I didn't like that much. Mandalorian's my favorite thing right now.
Yeah.
Mandalorian, I can't wait for the next episode of Mandalorian. Like, that to me, the season finale of Mandalorian that's the thing I'm caring about now.
Yeah.
Because the so-called end of the Skywalker saga, which, by the way, I was reading, you know, a lot of critics this week. Somebody made a really good point, which is sort of the point we've always known, but we haven't said, which is, you know what's a good ending? Return of the Jedi. That's a clear good ending. This was always going to be a tack-on job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the ending. It really is. And whether you like the prequels or not, the 1-6, that's what works.
Mm-hmm.
This extra 3, it's extra. You know, oh, God. You know what was a really shitty hand wave? Retcon? Mm-hmm. When Kylo Ren's like, I never lied to you, Rey. Your parents were nobodies, but because they wanted to be nobodies, because they were hiding, because your dad was Emperor Palpatine's son. And it's like, what? They're nobodies because they wanted to be nobodies? That's some real fucking acrobatics you're pulling there, JJ. Luke's Force Ghost also looks pretty shitty in terms of CGI.
Yeah, again, going back to like the CGI in this movie as a whole is not great.
No, it doesn't look good. Let's see. I'm looking through my notes here. I felt like the movie really wanted me to be excited about Kylo Ren's turn back to Ben. But I kind of wasn't. I knew it was going to happen, but I wasn't. I don't know. Maybe there were just Kylo stands out there. But I don't know.
Again, it felt unearned. It felt weird.
Yeah. The whole thing is unearned. The whole thing is like, it's all plot, no story.
Mm.
There's no movie happening. It's just stuff, 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 stuff. You never get a chance to breathe ever. Here are some questions that I come out with that the movie leaves us with. Who's Palpatine's son? Why did Palpatine tell Kylo to kill Rey if he always wanted Rey to be the Empress?
Right.
Who was Snoke? If he was a clone, what was he a clone of? Who are all the acolytes of Palpatine at the end? Do they also live in that little cave? Who are they? For a second, I thought they were going to all take off their robes and they were all going to be Snokes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can suck the Force out of people?
Yes.
That's what's happening there at the end. The Emperor's like sucking the Force out of Rey.
And then she's sucking the Force out of him.
It's right, like, right, right. And then she dies and then he gives his Force to her so she can live. But it's like, why don't they both die when the Emperor sucks the Force out of them to begin with?
And then you hear all the Jedi.
What did you think of that scene? A lot of people online are liking that because it's got a lot of audio cameos.
Mm.
Rey is dying and she's... But by the way, this also I think was executed in a very corny way. It didn't look good to me. Rey's dying and she looks up at the stars and she hears the voice of all the Jedis that ever lived. That's a weird theme of this movie of... Palpatine says he's all the Sith that ever lived in one.
Yeah, so like if he dies, she becomes the
right.
New,
she'll become the new Empress, but
it's,
then
it's
Palpatine,
like Highlander rules.
Right,
like,
Palpatine will be in Rey. Whatever
weird
and,
plan,
and then Rey is in the beginning. She's meditating, trying to speak to all the Jedi, and she's like, I can't hear them. But anyway, at the end, you hear Ewan McGregor's voice, you hear Hayden Christensen's voice,
Mace
Anakin.
Windu's voice.
You hear Mace Windu's, you hear Ahsoka Tano's voice.
Yeah.
You hear Kanan Jarrett's voice, which is Freddie Prinze Jr. from Rebels. So it's a real, it's for the real diehard fans, it's like, here's a lot of the Jedi you've known through all the media. But it's still corny. You know what it reminded me of? In Rocky V, when Tommy Gunn and Rocky are fighting out in the street, and then Rocky... He's down on the ground, and then the ghost of Mickey or whatever the fuck is like, get up, you son of a bitch, because Mickey loves you. And then you hear, bah, 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 as he finds a second win. That's what I was feeling. I was like, what is happening?
Well, there
were
several
movie?
Scenes that felt like kind of ripped right out of Endgame.
Well, yeah, tell me.
Like, there was a scene where Rey's like, I am, and there's like a long beat. Before she finishes it. And it's like a beat long enough for someone to just be like, Iron Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's
and then the scene where like they're waiting for backup.
Yeah.
And they get like the communique that like people are coming.
Yeah.
And you get the whole fleet of people coming at once.
Oh, man. How stupid is that? in the last movie, when they're at Crete, Leia puts out a distress signal and no one comes. And then Luke does something heroic, and the idea is he becomes the legend that people thought he was, yeah. And that will inspire people. But in this movie, like, nobody's fighting with them, and then Lando's like, yeah, I'll go get some people. And then everyone in the galaxy is there, and there's the scene where there are two fucking... Oh, God. There are two First Order people looking at all these ships, these various ships, and one's like, who are all these? This isn't a fleet. And then the other guy's like, it's not a fleet. It's people. You know what? That brings me to an overall point, which is this movie's cornier than the average Star Wars movie. The dialogue, the turns that happen, the story, it just... A lot of people have said it feels like a fan film. It feels like fan fiction.
Yeah.
And I think that's true. And I think part of the reason why that is because it's corny. That's corny.
It's very corny.
And what really kind of is weird is I guess JJ said to John Williams, hey, this is the end of the whole, this is the last symphony. Mm-hmm. This is the end of the whole thing. So we really want you to think about that. So when all the good people of the galaxy show up, you have a very rare moment, which is you hear the Star Wars theme. You hear dun 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 dun, which is, it's very, there's all these different themes in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It's very rare that you hear the theme in the opening,
yeah,
in the body of the film. But that's,
they do it.
This is what we've been building up to. Wasn't this idea better done with the Ewoks, because they were simple, primitive people that stood up and fought to protect themselves?
Yeah.
It's just, here's a bunch of old ideas done worse and clumsily.
Yeah. It's a very clumsy movie.
It really feels tossed together.
And it feels like the whole first half of the movie is all like MacGuffin chasing.
Yes. What the fuck is that dagger? I don't know. I still don't get what that dagger is.
Dagger, like...
Who made that dagger? Does it, when you blow on it, does it bring a Megazord?
And then, yeah, like, it's like, oh, we got this Wayfinder to take us to this place.
Yeah.
You want to go to this place?
Yeah.
If not, we could just, there's no movie.
Kylo breaks the Wayfinder, but don't worry. We could just pick up on his Wayfinder. We didn't need the MacGuffin.
We didn't need it.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Like, what the
fuck you, audience.
Damn. You thought this was going to be a thing. Well, you thought wrong.
That dagger. What fucking sense is that?
And the whole, like, C-3PO can't read it because he has Sith blocked out,
right,
or something.
Right, he can't read Sith. And that's why we have to erase his memory. But don't worry, we're not going to get any drama out of that. It's just going to be funny. Funny with quotes.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? Let's talk about things we liked in it. Because there are some things I liked in it. What do you think? Is anything stand out? There's got to be some shit that you liked.
I mean, some of the action was cool.
Okay.
I think the acting is okay.
I think Daisy Ridley is good. Even with this shitty material, I think she's good.
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't like a whole lot. Like, it really... It's really a film that, like, there's so much going on
there's
so little time to, like, get invested in the scene to be like, oh, this chunk of the movie was, like, my favorite thing that they did.
Well, let me ask you, when you were watching it, what were you feeling? Were you feeling anger? Were you feeling disappointment? Or were you kind of feeling numb?
I was kind of feeling numb. Like, it really honestly reminded me of watching the third Matrix movie.
Oh, okay. That's a really good analogy.
Where it's like, we're going to give you the payoff. We got action, action, action.
Right.
But, like, because there's so much of it, and, like, it's not really connected to anything emotional.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't feel anything.
Right.
Like, yeah, you got, like, 2 hours of action in this Matrix movie. But then, like, at the end, you tack on, like, Neo maybe dying and Trinity dying, and it's like, well, I don't care about where did this come from?
Right. That's a really good point. I felt numb until I felt disappointed. And then I was just like, oh, this is a bad movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of happened in the halfway point when I was like, oh, it's not coming back.
Mm.
And fine. I put out a public statement after I saw the movie on my Facebook. And I said some of it at the beginning of this podcast. If you liked it, good. I'm happy you liked it. I've always said when it comes to things like pop culture and art or whatever, you know, on an emotional level, your choices are love or indifference. Now, I'm not saying you can't be critical of something, but to me, that's not an emotional level. That's the level of, you know, I'm going to look at this work of art and I'm going to do a deep read of it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to analyze it. You know, I did a lot of analysis mm-hmm. when I was a professor and you know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm not saying don't use your brain, but I'm saying when it's about emotion, when it's something like Star Wars or Harry Potter or Game of Thrones.
You don't need to get angry about it.
Right. If it's something you love, don't waste your energy hating something you love.
Yeah.
There's been bad Star Wars movies before, and this is one of them for me. But you know what? I'm going to wear my Baby Yoda t-shirt. I pre-ordered all the Baby Yoda toys coming out. And, you know, maybe it's because I read Star Wars books, and some of them suck and some of them are good. And it just, and also because we've lived through the prequels, and it's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm not trying to take the high road against Last Jedi haters, but I feel like people who hated Last Jedi became radicals, and I'm not going to become a radical. You're not about, you know, we're talking about it because it's a big release, but this podcast isn't about to become a vitriolic, angry screed every week.
You're not going to join the alt-right.
Right. It's, that's not, that's, it was just a bad movie. That's all.
Yeah.
No biggie. There's good Star Warses. No, it's really funny, and I don't, you can't put this past Disney. Already, you can pre-order the Skywalker Saga 9 movie gigantic fucking comes in a book. $250 retail.
Not the original trilogy, though. Still can't get the original trilogy.
Why won't you do that, Disney? Well, I would buy that so handily.
There is a rumor that, like, when Lucas made the deal with Disney, he said, like, you can only sell and continue, like, my versions of the movie. And there, people are saying there's truth to that because they're thinking that he also got one more edit of it. Because if you watch it on Disney Plus,
McClunky.
Yeah, there's new edits to it again.
Yeah.
Which, new edits now, a couple of years ago when they released the Blu-ray, there were new edits.
Right.
There were edits before that when they released them on DVD.
Yeah.
There were edits before that in the first run of DVDs. And then there were edits before that with the special editions.
Right. It's constantly been fucked with.
It's constantly changing. You can't.
Right.
There's no definitive version of this movie. And the McClunky thing is just like, what?
It's clunky.
It is clunky.
Thanks,
the whole
folks.
Thing is McClunky.
Here are a few things I liked in the movie. I liked Dio. Even though all he is to do one plot point, I liked him because what I do now for a living is I work for and advocate for intellectually and developmentally disabled people. And Dio, to me, really seemed like a representation of autism. Mm. Like the way he repeated things, the way when Ray goes to pet it, it goes, no, thank you.
Mm.
Like me and Jen both work in the field. We both work with intellectually and developmentally disabled people. And we both were like, that's autism.
Yeah.
And I like, that's cool. I like representation like that. The other big one, which I don't know why this isn't getting more anger. Mm-hmm. There's a woman to woman kiss. There's a genuine LGBTQ moment.
Right.
Which they've had gay Star Wars characters in books and stuff, but at the end of this movie when everyone's celebrating, you see two females kiss and embrace. And some could say, well, you know, too little too late. It's the 9th movie and you snuck it in under the wire.
Yeah.
But it's not like just somebody like Dumbledore where it's like, he's gay. Like, it's like you actually see a kiss.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool. That was cool, I thought.
Speaking of Dumbledore, not to go on a tangent.
Oh, are we going to talk about how J.K. Rowling's transphobic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a TERF now.
She
always has been.
She's digging her heels in, too.
Yeah, she's like, you can do whatever you want, but like...
Don't turn against biology.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
There's weird shit in her work, too. I mean, look at Gringotts and the way they describe the horrible big-nosed trolls who control all the money. It's
Who do you think you are, lady? Ricky Gervais?
Oh, God, he's all... Oh, fuck him. We'll he's been defending her.
Oh, has he been defending her?
Oh, yeah. He's been defending her. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to rank the movies.
Okay.
So I want to see what our rankings are. I asked you to rank in two ways. Rank the five Disney era movies and rank
the nine
Skywalker saga movies.
Okay. Well, let's do the Skywalker saga movies first. I feel like that's actually going to be more like clear cut.
Okay.
I would put Empire first.
Yes.
Then,
you're going from best to worst.
Best to worst.
Okay.
Going Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Then, I would say Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
New Hope. Force Awakens. Last Jedi.
Okay.
Episode 3. Episode 1. Mm-hmm. And Episode 2.
Okay.
So, Episode 2 at the bottom.
Where's Rise of Skywalker, though?
Oh, Rise of Skywalker, I would put that right... I've been debating this all day of whether to put it above or below Attack of the Clones. I'm gonna say right now it's at the very bottom because I think Attack of the Clones.
You do think it's the worst Star Wars movie?
I do think it's the worst Star Wars movie. I think it's had the least thought put into it. I think it at least with Attack of the Clones, and this movie's making me defend Attack of the Clones. There's stuff in Attack of the Clones where I'm like. Okay, I like this. Like, there's stuff in it that I like.
Okay.
There's just huge, huge chunks of it that I do not like. But you can't, you also can't say that he didn't, when making the prequel trilogy, not plan that out.
Okay.
Whereas Rise of Skywalker really left a sour taste in my mouth because of how, like, poorly planned it was, how much it reached back into the well. The stuff with the Emperor, honestly, like, that's the most... Because that's, for me personally, that's what I had predicted that if they were going to screw it up that they would do. I've said that since Last Jedi came out, and they did pretty much exactly to a T what I was hoping they would not do.
Yeah, it's funny. So many of the things that happened in this movie were like bad fan theories that I always thought, no, she's not going to be a Palpatine. That's stupid.
Yeah.
And she was. Even certain things that I heard as rumors and I thought that's just a rumor. Like the whole end where she goes to Luke's family home and the woman's like, who are you? And she's like, Rey. And she's like, Rey who? Rey Skywalker. I had read that and I was like, nah, that stinks of a fake rumor. And then it was in the movie. Like,
you're not a Skywalker. What are you talking about?
Well,
I get it.
Well, there's two things, right? It could be that's the what she chooses and it also could be Ben is in her. Because he gave her his force. So in a way, she kind of is.
But because then she'd be Solo.
Yeah. All right. So let me give you my ranking of the Skywalker saga. Also going from best to worst. Empire Strikes Back. A New Hope. The Last Jedi. Return of the Jedi. The Force Awakens. Revenge of the Sith. The Phantom Menace. The Rise of Skywalker. And Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, so like right near the bottom is
what right. It's not. I still think Attack of the Clones is the worst Star Wars movie, but this is the second worst Star Wars movie.
The thing that's saving Attack of the
Clones.
And
yeah, you heard me. I put The Last Jedi in my top three.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
The thing that saves Attack of the Clones for me, honestly, is the opening scene is pretty good, and I like the plot line about, like, Obi-Wan.
Dexter Jexter.
I mean, I love...
Who doesn't want Mel from Alice as a robot? Or whatever. No, he's not a robot.
I just love the Gunga Diner.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love allegories to Gunga Din?
Yeah.
And then... But, like, I like the... Did you never realize that that was...
I think I did, but you reminded me of it.
But, yeah, the one thread in that movie that I really like is... Obi-Wan, like, searching and, like, going to the clone facility.
Yeah. It, you know what? As sloppy as that movie is, at least it's trying to be innovative and it's not cynical. There's something very cynical about how calculated
yeah,
the Rise of Skywalker is in trying to appease all the neckbeards.
Mm.
Now, how would you rank the five Disney era films?
I would say this might shock people.
Oh,
I'm gonna go from least to best on this one.
Okay.
Least Rise of Skywalker. Second least Rogue One. Then I'm gonna go Last Jedi, Force Awakens, and then Solo.
Wow. So you're saying...
I'm saying Solo is the best of the new movies.
Guys, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
That is... You know what? It's not my list, but by God, I'm not going to fight you on that. Solo is a great movie.
It's going to be the underrated gem of the... It's the opposite of Rogue One, where I think a lot of people walked out of Rogue One and were immediately like, that's pretty good.
Right.
And, but like, the more it sits, the more I'm like, I don't ever need to see Rogue One again.
Right.
Whereas Solo, I'm like the more I think about Solo, the more I'm like, I could rewatch that.
Mm.
Like, I really like Solo. Like,
you could rewatch it. It's so much fun. It's got none of the, it's not bogged down by the Force. People go, oh, well, it was a mess in production. Well, first of all, every movie's a mess in production. Secondly, it's a great script. Lawrence Kasdan and his son wrote a great script. And Lawrence Kasdan has worked on some of the best Star Wars movies.
Yeah, and honestly, like, for as much as it's a prequel, so you would expect, like, Rogue One did this, right, where it's a prequel and we gotta, like, get in all the prequel-y stuff.
Yeah.
This, Solo didn't do that. Solo, like, gave you a lot of, like, stuff you've never seen before.
I love L3.
L3.
A woke droid.
I love that there's, like, several heists in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, there's just these long heist montages.
Yeah.
It's like, I like that.
I really like Kira. I actually shipped Han and Kira, even though I know eventually he ends up with Leia. Kira's a cool character. I want to see more of her.
Yeah, I like the last half of the movie where you think it kind of is going to slow down a little bit and it like picks up at the end. The Darth Maul cameo is interesting.
Yes, I like
Even
Empress
though you
Nest.
Know it can't go anywhere because they're not going to make another one.
Yeah. No, they're saying, though, they might... Some of the elements of this movie might end up in a series on Disney Plus. Like maybe,
I would like that.
Maybe a Kira series or maybe a Han series even.
Yeah.
Let me tell you my list. So my list is... And I'll too go from worst to best. Worst is The Rise of Skywalker. Then Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
Then Solo. Then Force Awakens and Last Jedi.
Okay.
Now, I love Solo too, but Force Awakens... I would put Force Awakens actually with Solo, and boy, it's a fun ride.
Yeah.
I could watch a Force Awakens over and over again, and it just, you know, it's what JJ can do well, which is like...
Right.
I said recently on this podcast that JJ Abrams is not a good chef. He's like McDonald's. He's not going to give you something amazing, but he's going to, your taste buds are going to be singing.
Yeah.
And in this one, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. What do you think should happen with Star Wars now? What should Disney do with this now?
I think they should take some time off.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they've stuck to their guns and said that Rian Johnson is still going to be doing a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's last I heard. I don't know if they kicked him off that or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
Weird choice to then like be knocking his movie in this movie if they're still going to let him do a trilogy.
Right.
But I hope he does whatever this new, whatever the next phase of Star Wars in the movies is going to be.
Mm.
If they're going to do a trilogy.
Yeah.
I hope it's something completely new.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's something that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
Characters we've never seen before. Settings we've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
People have suggested that like they might do Knights of the Old Republic.
I think the rumor is that's what the two producers of Game of Thrones were supposed to do.
Right, before they got kicked off.
Or left or whatever goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, so who knows what's going on with that.
Do you think that this movie... It's the smallest opening of the three movies. It made less than Last Jedi and Force Awakens, and it made nothing in China. It flopped. Local Chinese movies came in one and two, and it came in three.
Wow.
Now, I think Kathleen Kennedy is going to step down. Now, the fans go, oh, it should be Dave Filoni, but... Dave Filoni would be cool from a story point of view, but I don't know if he could do the, you know, there's a lot more to being the president of a movie company.
Yeah. I don't know if Dave Filoni's probably happy right where he is.
Here's my choice. If I had to pick who I think should take over, Jon Favreau.
Yeah, I would be happy because he's doing The Mandalorian. He's gangbusters.
I didn't love The Lion King, but at least he tried to do something new with something old.
But like, he's always been good at making something like fun when it needs to be, and then when it needs to be serious,
he's great with tone
to do for.
Yeah,
and that's really what this franchise needs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's great at it.
Yeah.
He knows when to throw Baby Yoda in there. He knows when to pull back on Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
Look at his Baby Yoda control in Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll, like, get a sense. Like if you play a game of, like, should Baby Yoda be in this scene, he knows exactly what scenes to put Baby Yoda in. There's not going to be, like, Grandma's not dying and Baby Yoda shows up and he's all cute. Like,
no, you're right. Here's what I think about the future of Star Wars. I think they should take off a good amount of time before a new movie. Give it 3 years, maybe even 4 years. I also don't think that we need trilogies.
No, Solo was like good.
We don't need trilogies. I mean, I understand why they need the new trilogy, but things don't need to all be trilogies.
They could do their own, which they really should have done from the start, is do their own Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right.
Take five ideas, put them out there with decent budgets. Let's say three of them really hit. Okay, those are the three that you give sequels to.
Mm-hmm.
And then you keep pumping out little small ones.
Right.
And you see what hits and you sort of like follow the tea leaves.
Yeah.
And you go like, okay, these are going to be like standalone movies, but like these we're going to follow up on. And then maybe down the line, like you connect some of those movies together.
Yeah. Also, I would say, you know what? Let's focus on TV.
Yeah, why not?
Let's focus on TV. It's a big world with a lot in it. I think TV, serialized TV, actually would be a really good way to go about things.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's because Mandalorian is so good right now, which makes me excited for Obi-Wan.
Mm.
But, you know, there's so much there that is untapped. We finished, we and by the way, I really hope Disney doesn't come back in 10 years and goes, how about episode 10? Which is, of course, possible.
Yeah.
Let's focus on TV now. And let's not flood the market too much.
Yeah, that's honestly what killed like Solo at the time.
That's why I'm a little excited to hear that Lucasfilm is working on a new Indiana Jones and a Willow series for Disney Plus.
Yeah, give us a Willow series.
Yeah, just because you're Lucasfilm doesn't mean you can only do Star Wars. You can do other shit. Go ahead and
give us the Howard the Duck movie.
On that, I think we should end the podcast. Guys, Happy New Year. Hope you enjoy 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Mike Bongiorno. This is PCMC. PCMC can be found anywhere podcasts are available. I'm here with Vin Forte.
Yeah. Co-host of Wrestle Rap with Emilio Sparks, who is also on this show every once in a while.
Absolutely.
So check us out at WrestleRap.com. And wherever podcasts are stored. And if you're listening to this...
Mm-hmm.
When it's airing, we should already have a new episode out.
Fabulous. Yeah. Guys, we usually end by saying go bye-bye, but today we're going to end by saying, may the force be with you.